Does your child seem irritated and resentful towards you and your parenting methods? Are you concerned that something you're doing or not doing might be causing them anger? Would you like to learn how to avoid the snares of parent-provoked anger and raise emotionally healthy kids? Then we're so glad you're joining us for today's episode. I'm your host, Katie Morgan, and welcome to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count to Three, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That. She speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschool conventions across the country. You can check out her parenting resources and find out when she's speaking in or near your area at gingerhubbard.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support our ministry, one way you can do that is by purchasing Ginger's resources directly from her website instead of other online retailers. And stay tuned until the end of this episode to receive a discount code on your purchase at gingerhubbard.com. Another great way to support our ministry is by helping us get the word out about our show. You can do that by leaving a rating or a review wherever you listen to this podcast. Thank you so much for your support, listeners. This enables us to further our mission, to help parents reach the hearts of their children for the glory of God. Do your kids just love getting mail? Do you go to the mailbox with them and sift through the mountain of paper, like coupon for mold removal? Yeah, don't need that. Hopefully. Electric bill. Ouch. Bathing suit magazine you didn't request. No, thank you. But what if your kids went to the mailbox with you to find an engaging current events magazine just for them, presented from a biblical worldview? God's World News is just that, and so much more. They offer bi-monthly print magazines and corresponding online content that will walk your kids through current events in age-appropriate ways, from toddlers all the way to teens. Subscribe at gwnews.com/ginger. Again, that's gwnews.com/ginger. Well, hey, Ginger, I'm looking forward to today's topic because it is such a difficult thing for a parent to know how to navigate their kid's anger. We did a couple of episodes back in January of last year to help us understand what's at the heart of anger and how to address anger in our kids. That was episode 103 called The Heart of Anger and episode 104 called When Kids Are Angry. So if your child does have a problem with anger and you're not sure how to address it from a biblical, heart-oriented perspective, I highly recommend you go back and listen to those episodes. And of course, we'll have Heather put links to those in the show notes. But today, we want to approach the topic of anger from the perspective of parents who might be unintentionally provoking their children to anger.
That's right, Katie. The anger we're going to talk about today is the anger that God warns parents not to provoke their children to in Ephesians 6:4. In this verse, God says that rather than exasperating our children, we are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And then in Colossians 3:21, Paul uses a different word to express the same idea. He says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." I also want to say up front that today's topic is a compilation of several topics we've covered over the years. We've talked about the dangers of scolding, showing favoritism, not spending quality time with our children, parenting in anger, and being inconsistent with discipline. So I went back and reviewed several of those episodes we've done in the past and pulled out some of the best information as it might pertain to parent provoked anger in children. So for our listeners who have been with us for a long time, this episode is going to be somewhat of a review of information and encouragement you've heard in episodes from 2 or 3 years ago. But I believe it's good for us to have a refresher on some of the basics every now and then.
Well, and Ginger, this is what you and I have concluded time and time again when we feel like we're repeating ourselves. Mm-hmm. Repetition is helpful and even necessary for parents because we often forget the goal of our parenting and drift into methods or habits that can be detrimental to our overall purpose or our desires for our kids. So let's talk about the 7 ways you've identified that we can parent without provoking our children to anger. So what's the first one?
We can keep our promises. When parents make promises or commitments to their children and do not follow through with them, the children may struggle with disappointment, discouragement, rejection, bitterness, and/or resentment. any of these emotions can lead to anger and often rebellion. Now, we're all going to make commitments with our children that we may have to break sometimes, but when commitments are constantly broken and an attempt is not made to break the commitment appropriately or to seek the child's forgiveness, then the child's disappointment will eventually turn into anger. And if broken promises happen on a regular basis, the child can even begin to view his parents as unreliable, undependable, and perhaps even deceitful, which can cause anger to grow more intense. If we have made a commitment that we can't keep, which is probably going to happen sometimes, we need to be willing to humble ourselves and to go to that child and make things right, especially when it comes to spending time with our children. When we're willing to plan time with our children and follow through with those plans, it lets them know how important they are to us.
Okay, well, right out of the gate, I'm already humbled and convicted by this first one. Because it has taken me many years to realize, and I'm still terrible at this, I have a bad habit of promising things when I'm feeling especially extroverted that day or optimistic about my capabilities as a mom. And quite often I find myself overcommitted or having to go back on commitments because of my own physical limitations. This not only disappoints my kids and can lead to resentment, like we're talking about today, but it can stir up a whole batch of mom guilt and shame that serves no purpose but to discourage me from doing the good work of shepherding my kids. I think the best way to not overpromise and underdeliver when it comes to our children is to master the art of saying no. And I don't mean to our kids, but to other things that might impede our primary job as their parents. My husband says this all the time to me. He's like, every time we say yes to something, we are saying no to a million other probably good things. Ginger, I think he's even said that to you before.
Yep. He has. That's very good counsel from Brian.
If you say yes to something, you are saying no to other things. So let's just make sure we are deliberate about those things we say yes to. Mm-hmm. So that went well, Ginger. What about the second one?
We can take time just to be with our children. Now, of course, there are many ways that we can spend quality time with our kids, but I do have two suggestions. First is to take 10 or 15 minutes to talk with them at bedtime. Now, if you're raising a whole tribe of kids and you can't do that with all of them every night, then you might consider rotating nights. And I'm not talking about spending time reading a book or helping with all those bedtime rituals. Those things are great. But I'm talking about just sitting beside your child and listening to whatever it is that they want to talk about. Something happens in those moments when their little bodies are winding down and their minds are preparing for sleep. They just seem to become more vulnerable and ready to share their hearts. Also, I encourage you to avoid the temptation to use that time for training or discussing everything they did wrong that day and try not to lead the conversation. Just be willing to sit in silence for a while. Give them time and wait for them to talk about whatever it is that comes to their minds, because whatever comes to their minds, that's what's on their hearts. I found that some of the most meaningful and intimate conversations I've had with my children have taken place just before they've drifted off to sleep. There's just something special about those last few minutes of the day when a child will open the window of their heart.
See, Ginger, I always thought it was because they were trying to get us to stay so they didn't have to go to sleep. I think it's all a game. It's a ruse.
It's all a game. Well, that's true. And that could partly be it. So maybe go in with a set amount of time in
that's
mind
a good idea.
And call it a night when that time is up, especially if it's just, you know, idle chit chat going on. A second way you might consider spending time with your child is by planning date nights with them, doing something that they enjoy. Now, I know their choice for an outing may not be what we would choose, but individual time with mom and dad doing something that they enjoy brings comfort, security, and a feeling of importance to the child. And it doesn't have to be putt-putt or bowling or things like that that cost money. It could be something as simple as exploring woods or a trail together or a walk around the neighborhood or a trip to a park where you push them on the swing or go down the slide with them instead of just watching them play. Taking them somewhere to play alone or even with a friend while we play on our phones That's not quality time. And speaking of phones, if you're engaged in some sort of activity with your child or just engage in a conversation with them, consider letting incoming calls go to voicemail and resist the temptation of checking and responding to text messages and social media. Again, this sends a powerful message to our kids that our relationship with them is a high priority.
I think it was Ron Deal we had on the show, and he talked about fubbing, like phone snubbing.
Yes.
And yep. That really stuck with me, just how we can undo this quality time in some ways if we're engaged in trying to be engaged in two places at once, because that's not possible. We can't be fully engaged in our kids if we're snubbing them for spending time on the phone.
Yep. So put the phone down.
Put it away. Okay, Ginger, what's the third way we can parent without provoking our kids to anger?
We can speak with gentleness and respect. Some parents think that they have to speak harshly and raise their voice beyond normal range before their children will obey. But that method of parenting encourages delayed obedience. For example, the parent gives clear instructions and the child thinks, I got plenty of time. Then the instructions come a little bit louder and the child maybe looks up to examine the parent and thinks, still got some time. Mom's eyeballs and neck veins aren't bulging yet. Then finally, when mom is yelling at the top of her lungs, they obey. Not because it's the right thing to do, but to avoid having to suffer mom's wrath. Also, our response to our children sets an example for how we want them to respond to us. We teach by our example. Y'all heard me quote Luke 6:40 several times. That verse says, when the student is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. When we model anger, we're training them to model anger. Angry parenting leads to angry children. Some of us are very quick to become angry and speak harshly, while others have what Bruce Ray calls a teapot temper. A teapot temper is where there is outward calm, but inward turmoil. Outwardly, everything seems fine. But inwardly, a lot of little things are beginning to agitate and boil until finally a lot of noise escapes from the little hole in the top of the kettle. Suddenly, mom blows her top and verbally blasts her child without taking a breath regarding everything he's done wrong that day. In frustration of letting all of these little things build, mom angrily unloads both barrels. Somehow, she thinks that one angry tongue lashing is going to make up for all of the gentle, consistent training that should have been administered throughout the day. That teapot temper sort of training is wrong. It's based on mood and emotion. The verbal blast is more of a release of mom's frustration, not a self-controlled act of love. And it's not a substitute for the consistent training that should have been done gently and respectfully in the context of the moment throughout the day. Moms and dads who are quick to anger, or moms and dads who have that teapot temper, need to depend on God's grace and enable them to act contrary to their nature and in harmony with the Word of God in order to avoid sinning against God and their children and setting that poor example of angry responses. Remember, we're told in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When we act in anger, it stirs anger in the hearts of our children.
Ever wondered why traditional math curricula seem like a one-size-fits-all deal? Well, let's shake things up a bit and talk about CTC Math, a program that truly understands your child's unique learning needs. Imagine a math curriculum that adapts to their pace, making learning not just effective, but also enjoyable. No more tears. The interactive questions change in difficulty based on how your child is progressing, ensuring they're challenged just enough, not too hard, not too easy. It's like having a math tutor who knows exactly what they need when they need it. And as a parent, you'll love the detailed reports. You get to see their progress in real time so you can celebrate their victories and understand their challenges. It's really empowering. So if you're ready to give your child's math education a major boost, just visit ctcmath.com and sign up for a free trial. That's ctcmath.com. it's important to remember that while we're talking about provoking our children to anger, it's often possible for our children to provoke us to anger.
And yeah.
I'm sure I've said things like, you know, it just sets me off when they whine like that, or they weren't listening, so I had to scream at them to get their attention. But our kids' provocation of us is never an excuse to retaliate in sinful anger. So shaming, screaming, even passive-aggressive behavior, which is a form of anger, passive-aggressive behavior toward our children, that just teaches them that this is how we want them to behave. Mm. And I can't teach my children to respond with patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit, if I fail to model that for them. Mm. So, Ginger, what's the fourth way we can parent without provoking our kids to anger?
We can be careful to not correct them in front of others. When we correct our children in front of other people, we take their focus off of the wrong in their hearts and onto the embarrassment and the humiliation that we have unnecessarily caused them. Our goal is not to embarrass our children, but to bring them to repentance. Correcting our children in front of others can cause them to resent rather than repent. So if others are around, it's better to take your child in another room, or at least just quietly instruct him to where it's just between the two of you. If we want our children to respect us, we have to show respect for them. We have to honor their dignity.
Absolutely, Ginger. And this kind of shaming can do serious emotional harm to our kids. Sadly, I've even heard parents threaten their children in front of others, I guess believing that the shame of that will act as a stronger deterrent. And I'm sure I've done this. I'm sure we've all done this in some of our weaker moments, but if that becomes a habit, I just am concerned about the long-term effect this will have on our kids. But I've even heard parents say things like, you know, you don't want all these people to see you have to go to timeout, do you? And this is not biblical discipline, and it's not at all what we want to model for our children. It's public shaming, and it can be incredibly damaging to them, both emotionally and spiritually. Thankfully, God does not deal with us in this way, and we should avoid the temptation to deal with our own kids in that way.
Yep.
So, Ginger, what's the fifth way we can parent without provoking our kids to anger?
We can balance correction with encouragement. We have the opportunity to speak blessing or cursing into the lives of our children. We have the opportunity to bring them to adulthood with a secure and stable sense of who they are. But we also have the opportunity to bring them to adulthood deeply scarred and wounded as a result of some of the things that we say, and maybe sometimes even some of the things that we don't say. Mm. If all we do is correct our children, they can develop a distorted view of themselves. We need to balance our corrections with praise and encouragement so that they'll have a healthy assessment of themselves. Now, certainly, we don't want our children to think of themselves more highly than they should, but we don't want them to have a distorted and poor self-esteem either. We want them to be balanced. So we need to be balanced in our praise, encouragement, and correction. So I think correcting them probably comes a little more naturally to most of us because, you know, if they're doing something that gets on our nerves, naturally, we're going to want to correct them for that, even though that shouldn't be our primary motive. It should be to reach their hearts for the glory of God. But I do think that sometimes we have a tendency to correct more than we encourage. So let's look for ways to encourage our children. Mm-hmm. If little Tommy puts his toys away without being told, you might say, "You're doing a great job at being responsible." If he colors a picture, you might say, "I like the colors you chose. It really shows the creativity God has given you." If he says something kind to his sister, you might say, "I heard you encourage your sister this morning. I love the way you honored God by treating your sister well." We also need to avoid comparing our children to others. "Why can't you just be like so-and-so?" Or, "I never have to ask your brother to clean his room. Why can't you clean your room without being asked like he does?" We shouldn't make unfavorable comparisons between our sons and daughters because unfavorable comparisons will diminish their sense of self-worth and cause discouragement. And constant discouragement can easily lead to resentment and anger.
That's good. Ginger, what's the sixth way we can parent without provoking our kids to anger?
We can be willing to admit wrong and ask forgiveness. If parents demonstrate a prideful unwillingness to admit wrong or seek forgiveness, whether it be from our children or any other situation that our children might be aware of, anger will be the result. If we want our children to be willing to admit fault, then we have to model that for them. When we've wronged our children, we need to be just as eager to seek forgiveness from them as we would if it were someone else. We want our children to have open communication with us, and we want them to share their hearts with us. But if they witness such insensitivity and pride in their parents, they may conclude, well, it's no use talking to them about it. They'll never admit to being wrong about anything. Then bitterness begins to snowball into anger. We should be willing to admit when we're wrong and ask forgiveness. And just real quickly, I encourage three steps for asking for forgiveness. One, admit and pinpoint what you did wrong. What I did was wrong. The angry way that I just spoke to you did not show respect for you, and it did not honor God. Two, discuss what you should have done instead. I should have spoken to you with self-control and respect instead of lashing out in anger. Three, ask for forgiveness. Simple. Will you forgive me?
Ginger, I just love how you modeled seeking forgiveness rather than simply saying, I'm sorry. Because asking for forgiveness is so much harder to do, but it also models this God-honoring repentance rather than something like worldly remorse, which I'm sorry, you know, might do. And while it is so obvious how wrong it is, I know from experience that it's really hard to not correct our kids while also apologizing to them. I've even heard myself say things like, I apologize for yelling at you earlier today. That was wrong of me. And I did that because you disobeyed me, which was also wrong. And we've really had a problem with that, with you disobeying me, you know, just going into it again. And, you know, all at once, I've completely derailed my apology and made it about their sin rather than mine. So that is not a genuine apology. It actually feels like, probably to them, it feels like a manipulative way to try and make my point even more convincing.
Yeah, it's best to stay away from the word but when we're apologizing. I'm sorry, but, or please forgive me, but. When we tack on that word but, we're basically blame shifting to try to justify our own sin, like
Absolutely.
You said, Katie.
All right, Ginger, what is the seventh and final way we can parent without provoking our kids to anger?
We can set boundaries and be consistent with discipline. This is so vital for not provoking children to anger. In fact, I have so much to say on this topic that we're going to come back next week with a full episode on why setting boundaries and following through with consequences when those boundaries are overstepped are key components for raising emotionally healthy children.
Now is the part of our show where we share a funny kid quip from one of our listeners. Today's kid quip is courtesy of Claire in Illinois, and she says this. This past winter, our family of five was staying at our relative's house, who lives 4.5 hours from us. We always enjoy our time there, and my aunt and uncle are so sweet to host us and take care of all our needs. While my husband was getting our 4-year-old boy, Cameron, ready for bed one night, while we were there, he asked Cameron, "Do you like being at Aunt Lynn's house?" Our 4-year-old responded with a sweet smile, "Yes, I love it. They're very give-us," aka a mix of generous and giving. Give-us.
I love that.
Oh, and what kid doesn't love relatives who aren't give-us?
I know. I like that word. Listeners, if you have a kid quip for our show, we would love to hear from you. It can be any funny thing your child or grandchild has said, or it can even be something funny you said as a child. Just go to gingerhubbard.com/kidquips, that's Q-U-I-P-S, to submit those. Well, Ginger, before you leave our listeners with a final word of encouragement, how about you tell our listeners where you'll be speaking over these next few months?
Sure. I have events coming up in Texas, Tennessee, Florida, Missouri, and Iowa. So if you guys are in or near any of those states, I would love to meet you in person at one of these upcoming events. And as a bonus for the one in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, Katie will be with me at that one. And you can get $20 off your ticket price when you use the code GINGER at teachthemdiligently.net.
And my kids and my husband will be there with me as
well. Yes, the whole fam. So
they're going to be pushing books in the booth, which is so fun to watch, especially my youngest He's a hard seller. I mean,
he is quite the salesman. Yeah. We've taken him to a couple, and boy, that kid can sell way more books than I can.
It's hysterical.
And then sweet little Avery makes these little fluffs that go along with the Chloe in the Closet of Secrets mm-hmm. children's book about lying. We talk about fluffs in that book. And so she's made these adorable little fluffs to give away. So lots of fun when Katie's kids are there with us. We're looking forward to that. The two I have in Texas coming up, one in Fort Worth and one in Houston. They're also offering a discount of $10 off your ticket price when you use that same code GINGER at checkout. So we'll have Heather put links to all of these events with information about how to register and receive these discounts in the show notes. Okay, so final word of encouragement. Let's make it a priority to show our children how loved, valued, and treasured they are. Whether it's spending quality time doing something they enjoy, speaking to them with kindness and respect, encouraging them in their God-given strengths and talents, or just patiently listening to them talk about whatever it is that's on their hearts, may our love for them be a reflection of our Heavenly Father's.
Thank you so much, Ginger, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If your church might be interested in hosting Ginger and me for a women's event or bringing Ginger in for a parenting conference, please fill out the contact form at gingerhubbard.com and we'll get back to you with more information. Also on gingerhubbard.com, you can find Ginger's wonderful resources that will help you get to the heart of outward behavior and address it from a biblical perspective. Today, we're offering her best-selling parenting book, Don't Make Me Count to Three, A Mom's Look at Heart-Oriented Discipline, as well as her six-week study guide at a 10% discount. Just use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you as you seek to reach the hearts of your children for the glory of God.